Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Ola, it's Miles. How about this? Maybe you'd like to hear more of The Men's Room.
I know, you can't get enough of us. Subscribe to the greatest story never told on radio.com.
This is The Men's Room.
Get it, man, and get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off for Kicksville. Kicksville. The Crippers, the Grasshoppers, the Hip Ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying eyes aglow.
You're listening to The Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Stream all 4 hours of the Men's Room radio program when you download the radio.com app. Joining us now, great stations like 96.5 WCMF Rochester's Classic Rock, celebrating 50 years of rock in Rochester, 98.9 Rock, Kansas City's rock station, and our friends at Big Dog 97.9 in Joplin, Missouri. Our question, who really screwed up at work? 844-999-OLA.
A few comments come in. This one says, I had an employee spill six drops of oil from one of those scented plugins. Well, they landed on a hardwood floor. Ended up eating away the finish, and the whole floor had to be sanded, refinished. It cost $4,500 to fix six drops of oil.
Don't you think that would be a fire hazard then?
No, I mean, that's my point.
That's
because now I'm plugging it into the wall.
Yeah. So it's heated.
I want to say, and I'm not 100% on this, one of the Glade plugins or something, like when they were first introduced, let's just say maybe they hadn't done all of the testing they needed to. Those things would burst into flames and burn down people's homes.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful smelling fire. But for a while, people were like, don't buy these things.
Yeah.
But now I have a dog. I wait through them. Just saying.
Oh, they're great.
They are great, man. Quick way. People walk in like, are you guys making cookies? It's like, no, this is artificial cinnamon to cover the smell of pee that I've been trying to get out of the carpet. You know. Hello, Ed. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Hola, you people.
Hola.
Oh, he's just talking to me.
So I drive a semi-truck for a very big company, and I deliver to a very big store. And I was making a delivery one morning at 4 o'clock in the morning in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. And their parking lot's so big that when it snows, they have a front-end loader that just piles all the snow on the outskirts of the parking lot. Well, as it melts, it's been sitting there a while, so some of it turns to ice. And as it melts, the front-end loader, as it pushes the snow, turns them into like snowballs. So they roll down the hill, kind of, sort of, as it melts. So I was waiting for a buddy to get unloaded. I was already unloaded. And I was driving around the parking lot, because there's nobody there at 4:30 in the morning, and I'm smashing snowballs. Well, one of them was about the size of a garbage can lid, and I thought, well, I could roll over that. Well, it pushed my bumper into the radiator and poked a hole, and there I sat.
What was it? Was it just snow?
No, as it sits there, it becomes ice. Because, you know, in Coeur d'Alene, it's
cold.
It stays freezing for many days at a time. Well, after it snows.
Did a Klan member come over to help you out?
No. Actually, when you poke a hole in the radiator, you sit there. I had to get towed and have my radiator fixed, and it was a wonderful time. I got called in the office and got to sign a piece of paper stating that I will not horseplay anymore in the company vehicle.
And how much, nice. I just got to know, how much is a rig? What does that cost? Like, if you were going to be an independent truck driver and you wanted to go out and buy a truck, just the truck, how much would that cost?
Well, that all depends. You can get them as cheap as, you know, $125,000 all the way up to, my God, I don't know what a studio cab sleeper costs, but believe me, it's hundreds of thousands.
Is that the one that has the door on it where you can actually step up into the back?
Yes.
Okay.
The studio sleeper does.
Yeah, yeah. I've seen that, man. It's
all right, Miles. So here's your question.
Yeah.
Say you get a truck on the lower end of the spectrum, $150,000. Now you got $150,000. You buying a truck? You can travel the country in, or you joining that country club that you were looking into that costs 150 grand just to get in.
I couldn't afford
the
country
truck.
No, that's just to get in. That doesn't include the monthly dues.
That's what I mean. So
like
you buy on the truck. You got 150
300 grand. Bucks in food and booze every month.
Yeah.
You could do that.
I could do the 300 bucks. I couldn't do anything else.
Right.
I mean, trust me, I'll never see that place. Unless I jump the fence one night.
I will say this. Someone pieced together the place you were talking about, and they said they did deliveries of beer, wine, whatever alcohols, to this country club. I cannot say their exact quote, but they said it is bougie as, and now you can fill in the blank.
It's in a neighborhood that rhymes with Radisson Fark.
Yes.
Who really screwed up at work? 844-999-OLA.
They're never going to figure that out.
I know. Yeah. I tricked them.
Man, oh man, you're good.
Thanks.
Hello, Drew. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
I got a pretty good one. It was back in 2011 when I was towing cars under the table. I went to go pick up a motorcycle, which I know nothing about motorcycles. They all kind of look the same. Harley's a Harley, you know?
Yeah, two wheels.
You know, you vehicles.
Yeah, cars look like cars. Yeah.
Could have been a victory. You never know.
Yeah, you never know. But so I go, I'm like, hey, I'm here to pick up a motorcycle that's totaled for mechanical reasons or whatever. And they're like, okay, it'll be around the back. Now, on the description, I didn't have any color or anything like that. It just said Harley Davidson, no year, no nothing. So I was like, okay. So I go around back, and this guy brings out a Harley. I go, all right, that's probably the one that I'm grabbing since I just talked to you guys. I go to load it up onto my bed, and the bed on the truck had probably like transmission fluid, all this other junk on there that made the surface slippery. And I go to put it up there, and I dropped the bike on the bed. That wasn't the bike I was supposed to pick up.
Oh. So that bike was perfectly fine.
Yeah. It was there for its first oil change.
Oh.
Its first.
Oh. That was a really nice bike. Somebody just broke it in.
Yeah. Yeah. So I bent the sway bar in the front and then scratched up his saddlebags, and he comes out screaming at me, you know, what the hell are you doing? You know, and looks at his bike and was like, what did you do?
And you have no idea at all, right? So, I mean, what do you...
I had no idea.
I'm going to assume they covered that, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, he was screaming, you know, all sorts of different... Called me every name in the book. I'm like, look, I understand you're frustrated, but there's nothing I can really do right now since the damage is done. I was like, we have insurance, this and that. And then after all this unfolds, they bring out the bike that I'm supposed to pick up. And it's not black. It's maroon. It's a completely different bike. Still Harley Davidson, but completely different.
Would you say that you are towing underneath under the table? What does that exactly mean?
Off the books. Just strictly cash. No payroll. I was on unemployment at the time, so I figured I'd make a little extra.
But you were still working for a towing company, right?
Yeah. Okay. It was someone I knew, and he was just paying me strict cash, and that's all I would do is pick up the vehicles to a.
Those are the best gigs you can get, man. Yeah. I love gigs like that.
I wish I had a line on the speed that some of the tow truck drivers that I've had to take. I don't know what it is about tow truck drivers and me, man, but whenever they come up or whenever I'm around them, man, they are flying.
Yeah. I mean, you're spending time on your own.
Boom, 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 boom. Hold that. Yes, blah, 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 blah. They're gone. You know what I mean? It's like.
I had.
Yeah, they're efficient.
Yes, they are.
I was stuck in a rental car just stopped working. Cannot explain it. Just stopped working on 95 in Delaware. All right. So it is ridiculously hot outside. It's like two summers ago, three summers ago. It's like 98 degrees, 95% humidity. The air conditioning's gone down. And now I'm on the side of the road on 95. And on 95, if you've never driven on this, people drive there like 150 times faster than they do on the West Coast. It is zipping by. There's no real shoulder to the road. I am pissed. The kids are melting down in the back of the car. It's just hot. All right. So this tow truck finally shows up. Very thankful. And the guy was very, very kind. By the way, it was, what, Enterprise? They're the ones like, hey, we'll pick you up.
Yeah.
BS. No, they won't. They were like, I can see them on the other side of the exit. There's just no way to get there. We called them. Hey, we rented the car from you guys from a different location, but we'd only made it like 15 miles, maybe. So can you guys pick it up? No, man, we can't do that. Listen, Enterprise can kiss me, you know, anywhere they'd
like. Well, they pick you up like. You rent it, and they'll come pick you up.
No, but they also have a thing that we signed, like, hey, should this break down, we will take care of this.
Right. It's a $16 a day.
Right. This is what they say. This is inherently untrue. But We're waiting there for like an hour and a half. I'm like, it is just hot. Finally, the tow truck driver shows up, man. This dude gets out of the truck, and I don't know in my life that I've met someone wider than this guy. He is massive, massive, massive Philly dude. Still got the chin strap, but the biggest dude you've seen. And even when he had to shimmy beside his truck so he does not get hit by the traffic on 95, like, his gut kind of goes up on the flatbed part. He lifts it up, puts it on the flatbed, walks down, and when he gets to the end, like, it just kind of falls back down in front of him. He looks at me, puts out his hand, and he says, "Friends call me Slim." I said, "Your friends are goddamn liars." That's exactly what I told him. Like, that. Whatever, man. Your friends are freaking liars. But great guy, but we finally got the car back to Enterprise and just kind of read them the riot act. Like, look, man, if you don't want to pick us up, don't pick us up, but don't say, "I had to sign this and you covered this." They are full of crap.
Who really screwed up at work? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Vinny. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, hola.
Hola.
Well, I was 19 years old, started my first job at a casino, working facilities maintenance, and I'm rolling a hand truck back with two boxes on it, a dolly hand truck. And I'm going through a four-way hallway. There's no mirrors up on the corner, so I can't see anybody coming. I didn't say anything. And I roll straight through like a truck, and I take out the payroll lady as she's walking through.
Oh, no.
How old is this woman, roughly?
She's in her 50s. The sound of her knees hitting, I will never forget, hitting the floor. Oh. It was so loud, like two rocks hitting the ground.
Oh!
No. Yeah, how bad she hit her knees. That was what took the impact, and I didn't see her for, I think, 3 months after that. And she was the payroll lady.
And but you kept your job?
Yeah, kept my job for 7 more years, and then got fired.
Okay, did she acknowledge this when she came back to work? Were you able to apologize? Did she talk to you, or did she just hold a vendetta?
I apologized, but I kept feeling that little, "you little bastard" kind of thing.
you little bastard.
Yeah, you little SOB kind of look every time I got a paycheck from her.
Apology accepted, you son of a bitch.
You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hola, bitchola. You have entered the men's room.
From a Reddit discussion, and this one is brutal. Back in high school, it says, I had a job as a web designer at a small web shop servicing non-profit organizations. My bosses didn't let on that I was as young as I was, and they handled all of the face-to-face client meetings themselves. My job basically entailed designing and preparing the website for our clients. One of our big clients was the Christopher Reeve Paralysis Foundation. I sliced up their site and put in filler text, knowing full well that only the people coming from our internet IP would be able to see the development. I should mention that my company was a small, close-knit group and had a great, albeit vulgar, sense of humor. Rather than going the standard route, I instead filled in something along the lines of, "I'm Christopher Reeve. I drive myself with a straw. Weaknesses include kryptonite and falling off of horses. It gets worse. It continues." There's about 4 paragraphs of this stuff.
Right.
I came into work after school one day, and all 3 of my company owners and my bosses were waiting for me. I thought they were pulling some kind of prank like they always do, but they asked me to come into their office. At this point, I knew something was definitely up. My boss says this: "Chris and Dana saw that site." "What? Who?" I said. "He did. Christopher Reeve and his wife, Dana. The director wanted to show them the progress. Apparently, he did not check before he showed it to them in person."
At this point, I think my stomach hit the floor and I kept going straight on to the Earth's core. My boss told me he'd let me know what the next steps were, but just to know that I was in deep, deep S. Anyway, I didn't get fired, despite how adamant Dana Reeve was about the fact, and I had to write an apology to the Reeves family. I found out later that Chris actually had a pretty solid sense of humor and thought it was funny. R.I.P. Mr. and Mrs. Reeve. Our question, who really screwed up at work? 844-999-OLA.
I mean, you've heard me say this, but I have a story a little bit like that. I was coaching at a basketball camp. So there was just these specific Nike watches. All the kids had them. One kid lost one. It's the last day. Somebody says, we found one. I said, here, just take this one. And he's like, well, this isn't mine. There's an engraving on the back. So me, I was 19. But me being a problem solver, I popped off that engraving. I said, here you go.
Wait, that's... Like,
you being a problem solver.
This is your problem solving, is I'm going to pop the back off with the engraving. Here, kid, take the watch.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Then we find out the kid who lost the one with the engraving, we'll just say father was somewhat known, had played the NFL. So this is like a week later. They want the watch back. I'm like, well, we kind of gave it away. I don't know if we can find it now. And I'm like, why is it so important? They're only like $30. And he goes, because the grandma's dead. And that was the engraving.
Oh, Ted. Ted. Did you share that part with them that you popped it off? Or did you just try to blow it off like, well, we'll look around.
Let's see if we can find it.
The people that ran the camp, it never got to them what my role was in it. So somebody who did not, somebody who was a little higher up the chain was like, we don't speak about this. I was like, what? They were like, we're not going to talk about this. I said, all right.
Who really screwed up at work? 844-999-OLA.
Problem solving with Ted.
Well, I mean, you know me. I was like, hey, here you go, kid.
Jewelry Solutions.
Yeah. Hello, Kenyon. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
All right. So I used to work demolition and asbestos abatement. And we're working out in Tacoma in a house probably about 100 years old, you know, before carpets. It was all hardwood floor with a rug on it. And so the walls were lath and plaster. And so we're pulling the lath and plaster off so we can, you know, gut the place and they can eventually tear it down and build a new one. Well, the house had been burned at some point. So the single pane inch thick windows were very brittle. And I wasn't aware of this. I was 19, not really paying attention.
Is 19 the magic age? Is that what, yeah. Is that what we just say now? Like, I was 19.
Well, in all fairness, these are your first jobs.
Right,
I mean, you might have worked in high school, but for the most part, you know, game on.
Yeah, you don't really have any kind of, you know, common sense.
Or problem solving.
You know, until later.
Things. Yeah.
So, you know, not paying attention. I was pulling the, there was like a, probably about a foot and a half, 2 feet off the ground. There was the windowsill.
Mm-hmm.
And I meant to grab the windowsill so I could brace myself and pull the lath and plaster off the wall. The lathing is the, you know, the inch long boards that they would use as a backing for the plaster.
Sure.
And I was pulling those and I slipped and I hit the window and the window broke. And when I fell, I felt something sink into my hand. When I pulled whatever it was out, because you don't really look, you just kind of react. And, well, a piece of glass had come down and severed both the tendons of my index finger.
And then what do you do from there? I mean,
yep.
What?
And then what do you do at this moment?
Well, after I pulled whatever, you know, the glass piece out, I stuck my hand on it, and my supervisor's name was Billy, so I yelled out, hey, Billy. He goes, what? I said, I got a boo-boo. and he thinks I'm joking. He's like, no, I actually might need to go to the doctor. And then I felt that, you know, you get really nauseous and realize, oh, yeah, this is really bad. So I just kind of sat down with my hand on it, and we wrapped it up with whatever dirty towel we had laying around because, you know, we don't really have anything clean.
Tony.
And, we went to the hospital.
Were they able to put everything back together okay?
I had two surgeries on it. After the second one, they gave up. But, so one of the tendons is still connected, so I can move it a little bit. I just can't hyperextend it.
Okay. Let me ask you this.
You know, when you move your, what?
Well, based on just day-to-day activities, what do you have a difficult time doing without the use of that finger?
Grabbing things. I tend to push them, because you have to kind of swing wide to grab things, because it's, doesn't really extend as far as your fingers.
So basically what you're saying is you've got like the kung fu grip, you know what I mean? So you got to work your way around.
So you have the kung fu, if I had to look at your hand, you essentially do have the G.I. Joe kung fu grip.
Well, with one finger, yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
That's kind of weird.
It's like if you stick it up, it's at like a 45-degree angle, different than the other fingers.
And if you lay it flat on a table, will it flatten out and then just spring right back?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right.
I can move it all the way back as far as my other fingers will go. I just can't move it like that on my own.
And do you have any feeling in it?
Yes. It took a couple of years, but I finally have feeling in the, it's actually the back of the hand is where you lose the feeling.
Huh. Interesting. Okay.
That's a little weird.
Who really screwed up at work? 844-999-OLA.
Say, I lost, when I severed an artery in my left arm, I lost the feeling. Like half of my arm, like my arm, my forearm. So like from your wrist to your elbow, but just one half of it, there's no feeling. And as weird as it sounds, it doesn't bother you because you don't really do a lot with that part of your body. But for a while, I could freak people out, take like a thumbtack and just smash it in there. But I told people I was high pain tolerance. So I mean, look, man. I wasn't quite 19, maybe 22. But either way, you go to the bar and get free drinks doing that. Like, dude, go ahead, smash it. Do anything you want. I will not grimace. Nothing. There's a point where you don't realize that you're starting to get some feeling back, and you try these same old bar tricks about 2 years later, and it's instant, you know. Like, okay,
well,
all
right. You still got to buy him a beer.
The feeling's back.
Who really screwed up at work? 844-999-OLA.
Yeah, I would do that.
Oh, dude, it's...
buy you a drink and I could smash your arm?
Yeah, I mean, people would do it, do anything you want. You know, you couldn't light me on fire, but I legitimately couldn't feel anything. So people, they did not know I'd lost feeling. They just thought, like, yeah, I'm one of these dudes, you know. But if they said, how about your other arm? Like, no, we're not going to do that. But yeah, I found out the hard way. The feeling's back. Hello, Clay. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, guys.
Hola.
So this is probably back in, I think this is like 05, 06. I was working at Target, and I was working in the toy section. I was, you know, the stock floor sales guy, whatever. And this is back when the Teletubbies were real popular, like the big stuffed ones, you know, and the Tickle Me Elmo and things like
let's
that.
Let's revisit whatever. The Teletubbies. So let's go back to the Teletubbies.
Yeah, so this is actually what this concerns. So this gentleman calls and, you know, you can call the departments or whatever. So I pick up and this guy's like, yeah, I'm looking for the red Teletubby. And I'm like, man, you better hurry. I've got one left. And he goes, well, can you hold it for me? And, you know, we have a no hold policy. And so I said, well, you know what? I can hide it for you as best I can and hope no one finds it. So he's like, yeah, do that. I'm coming down right now. I'll probably be there in 20 minutes or so. I was like, all right. And, you know, I'm making the rounds and just working. And this guy comes and finds me. And he says, you Clay? I'm like, yeah, I'm Clay. He goes, where's that red Teletubby? And I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, come on over here, man. Oh, man. Someone had found it and they bought it. And then this guy becomes irate because, you know, he wanted this for his daughter for Christmas. And he's like, where is it? And I was like, man, hey, I did the best I could. I'm sorry, you know, and I'm trying to walk him out of the aisle there so I can kind of get out where there's some supervision in case this guy decides, like, punch me in the face or something.
Over a Teletubby, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so, you know, he starts getting really, really heated and, you know, throwing his hands around, and people are starting to come around and sort of poke their heads out of the aisles and watch what's going around and or going on. And so then he starts shoving me and poking me in the chest. And I'm like, hey, man, you know, I don't really need this right now. And I tried to walk away. Well, he shoves me in the back and like right into one of the end caps. And that's where the Tickle Me Elmos were. And I fall into this whole end cap. And I kid you not. It's just like something out of a movie. I fall and all these things go everywhere. And these little Tickle Me Elmos are laughing at me. And, you know, and it's the most embarrassing moment of my life probably at that point in time. And so then, you know, my manager comes running over, asset protection comes over, and they're like, what's going on? And so, you know, a couple of people had seen what had happened. And so I told them, I'm trying to get up, and I'm, you know, wallowing around in the Tickle Me Elmos there, and they're still laughing at me, and I'm get up out of there. And so I told them what happened, and so they walked this guy up front. Well, and they called the police, and so they ended up arresting this guy for assaulting me. But it was just, you know, it was just really, really embarrassing. I tried to do something nice for the guy, and then he ends up going.
Yeah, but you got
to
remember, so, you got in a fight over a Teletubby.
But
I mean, ultimately, like the last probably adult fight or fight you've been in your life was over a Teletubby.
But I'm telling you that, to me, the true crowning achievement of the story is that there's probably dozens of Tickle Me Elmos laughing at your ass for getting shoved over a Teletubby.
Yes. And then there's other shoppers right there, too. So, you know, those people are just laughing at me, too.
Let me ask you that. In your years of doing this, what was the single most annoying or most popular toy that you saw?
That was it. That and the Tickle Me Elmo. And Dora. Dora the Explorer.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. Yeah. With her monkey named Boots. I had to watch that for about a solid 7 months, man. And you know me. I'm just a cynic. I know it's a kid show.
Dora the Explorer.
Yeah, and she's got this freaking monkey. And I'm just sitting there with my daughter, and it's like, man, I'm doing everything I can not to just verbally assault the show because I don't want to ruin my daughter. But anytime, Dora was bad enough, and she always freaked me out because if you're not familiar with the show, it's supposed to be interactive. The problem with being interactive is, you know, when someone on the other side can't hear you, it's not interactive. It's just weird. So she says things for your kids to get clues, like, where do you think the banana is on the map? But then she just stops and she's staring at the screen. Yeah, and I'm telling you, man, I'm staring back at her like, I hate you, bitch.
Okay.
I hate you.
Typically, I've been doing this thing for, I don't know, maybe 10 years or so, or throughout my life. If I go to an event, if I go to a sporting event, if I go to a concert, whatever, I try to save the ticket.
Sure. Yeah.
And just so I can, you know what I mean?
You remember.
I just want to be able to remember all the things that I've gone to, and whether it's a football game, college football game, whatever. But during that point in time when my kids were really into that kind of stuff.
Tell me you saved these tickets.
I did not. And I wish that I would have saved every one of those tickets that I took to the Baltimore Arena, because you can't escape the marketing. So when you have a channel like the Disney Channel or Nickelodeon or whatever it is, your local cable provider, for an example, Steve, Frozen is coming to town, right?
Oh.
The live performance.
I wish someone had told me that.
Right. Well, the commercials will do that work for you.
And I have kicked my daughter out of the room. I have flipped the channel. I'm serious, man.
But I saw Dora the Explorer live. I saw Bear and the Blue Ox, or I don't know.
Who?
I don't know.
The hell is that?
I saw the Wiggles. I saw every Disney on ice.
Clifford?
I saw Clifford the Big Red Dog. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I saw him live. Dora live. I mean, you name it, man. It was, if it came to town, I was there. And the best part about it was the first one I went to, they do an intermission.
Yeah.
So they do an intermission, and then they bring toys into the aisles, right? So my kids are there, and I'm like, all right, show's over, but now you can buy a toy. So I buy,
these
Mickey Mouse flashlights or whatever, and we bolt, so I didn't have to stay for the whole thing.
So far, I have not done too bad on this. I did one Disney on ice. This is for my daughter's birthday.
I did Nemo on ice.
Was she good?
And it melted.
But she was two or three. Her birthday's tomorrow, right? So this was like the anniversary of it. But we had released the Men's Room Black, right? A really strong beer we have. I drank a lot that night, okay? And I don't remember what. I think I missed the cab, whatever it was. You were there. I broke my wrist. I broke my wrist. But the next day is my daughter's birthday. And by the time I get home, it's 3 a.m, right? So I'm not going to the hospital. I wake up, wrist is bloated. I'm in a tremendous amount of pain, but I can't miss this because I'm taking my daughter on her birthday to Disney. So I go to the thing.
It looks so painful. All of us, like, pulled aside. I'm like, dude, you need to get that knocked out.
I know, but I had to go. It was her birthday, man.
Yeah, yeah.
And I am sitting there, man, and I'm telling you, I have never been in so much pain at an event I did not want to be at. Right? And to her credit, it was a magical thing for her, blah, blah, blah. But I'm just sitting there just watching my wrist get bigger and bigger. Finally, the next day, I go to the doctor. She keeps asking me, well, what did you do to break your wrist? I said, man, I have no idea. I got drunk. It happened. I don't know. About 20 minutes later, now she does that. You know the thing that people do when they're trying to appeal to your other side? Sir, honestly, what happened to your wrist? It's like, woman, I don't know. You keep asking me this. I can tell you anything I want, and it could be true. I don't know. I don't think you understand when I tell you I was blackout drunk. I woke up to this. Why didn't you come yesterday? Because it's my daughter's birthday, and even though daddy's a drunk, I still got to take her ass to see Disney on Ice, all right? So I had to go through that one. The other one I did was Peppa Pig Live. I would go back to Disney on Ice 100 times before I go back to Peppa Pig. The thing about Peppa Pig, it's just me and the two kids. It's at a local theater, and listen, I cannot explain how much I hate Peppa Pig. You think I hate Frozen, Peppa Pig. This is next level hatred. It's ridiculous.
Yep.
I'm a grown-ass man, but I take them to this live event, and we get there. This dude comes rolling up to me as soon as we get in, and he goes, hey, man, I like the show. I said, oh, thanks. So he upgrades our tickets. We're now mezzanine, front row, dead center. And it kind of pissed me off because 2 days before that, Alice in Chains had played there, and I did not get an upgrade for that. Like,
sure.
I don't need good seats for this. So the only other one I've had to take a kid to, it was like the Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so the Avengers come to town.
That can't be bad.
Dude, it was awesome.
I was down with the Avengers, man. Barney, Dragon Tales, God, everything.
I liked Disney on Ice. I loved it. I was a child.
Because you're a kid.
Yeah.
As an adult, man, not only does the event suck for you as an adult, because it's, look, it's just not for you, but beyond that, and Miles had warned me of this before I got there. While you're enduring Disney, now keep in mind, you walk through concessions and you see all this remarkably overpriced garbage that Disney's slinging. And it's easy enough to tell her, like, hey, man, you know, we'll think about it. On the way out,
let's just go watch a show.
But when you sit down, they're like beer and peanut vendors at a sporting event. These guys walk to the end of the aisle, and all this stuff lights up and does things, and they're smart enough to know. They flip the on button, and every kid is now taking their eyes off the ice and now looking at this guy, and you just see every parent look at each other.
They got lights.
And money's just flowing, dude.
It's almost like when you look at the beer guy, like he's finally coming up the aisle.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. He's like, flashlight! The difference is, I buy my own beer.
Yeah.
But look, man, if she had the money, be like, buy what you want. I think I walked out having spent like $300 and all of it on plastic garbage that was either lost, broken, or no longer interesting within a week.
It's like going to the state fair.
It is.
Who really screwed up at work? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Frank. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, como esta, hombres?
Hola.
Okay, this is about me. Back in 81, I was like 21, working for a big roofing company in the Tacoma area. Big commercial jobs, hot asphalt. They had this big bulk asphalt tanker, and this thing probably held about 10 tons of hot liquid asphalt. And the very top of it, there's a threaded fitting that had stripped out that you attach the pipes to pump it up to the roof. Well, it was a little cool there, and it wasn't coming loose with a pipe wrench, so a fellow worker handed me up a roofing torch, and I put that roofing torch to that fitting, and next thing I knew, I'm flying through the air, started at about 12 feet off the ground, flying through the air, the ground is approaching quickly on some asphalt. So, in the long story, I guess I ended up breaking my femur, breaking my pelvis, elbow, thumb, and on top of that, when it vented, it blew the lid out of it, which was like a plug. So I've got all this hot asphalt and it adhered to every part of my body that the skin was exposed.
Oh God!
So I spent about 3 weeks in ICU. It was about a 3-year recovery. Kind of a blessing, though, because my hip was messed up before. I ended up getting a hip replacement out of L&I. I ended up getting a structured settlement out of this that's still paying me to this day.
Guys have all the luck.
Yeah, exactly.
Man, oh, man.
Still getting paid for
you
that.
You scored
one.
There.
All I had to do was get blown up. Who really screwed up at work? 844-999-OLA. You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We return to the men's room with Miles and Thrill.
Stream all 4 hours of the men's room radio program live when you download the radio.com app. Back to this Reddit discussion. Here is one that's amazing. I used to work at Chuck E. Cheese, taking a pizza from the kitchen to the customer. At the time, it was extremely busy, and there were little guys running everywhere, and this lady was at the far end. So I had to zigzag through the games to get to her. So after successfully maneuvering through a bunch of games and small children with two pizzas on my hands, I came within 10 feet of her table and thought I was home free. Well, turns out there was a 2-year-old kid crawling right in front of me. I didn't see him. I tripped on the kid. The pizzas went flying and hit another kid. Both of the kids are now crying because I stepped on one and nailed the other in the head with a pizza. Before you think this can't get any worse, I then had to deal with the parents. That part alone still makes me shudder to this day. About after 45 minutes of them yelling at me, they pressure my manager to fire me. My manager's a cool guy, so he said no, but he pulled me aside and told me
He would have to pretend to go bat as crazy on me to make the parents happy. He did, and it was the finest acting I have ever seen a non-actor pull off. It even scared me for a minute. I continued working in that place for another year before I left for college. Our question, who really screwed up at work? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Anthony. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, you people.
Hola.
Just be careful who you're saying that
I know
to.
It's become the new thing.
They will get rid of the bichola and just be hola, you people.
I know.
Surely that won't offend
you. About the Disney on Ice and stuff that you guys had to endure. Man, I'm lucky I got a four-year-old and live in Shelton, and he loves Transformers.
Oh, so you lucked out, man.
Those shows.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
All right, so aviation technician working in Tumwater was my first week, and I'm being trained to drill these titanium rivet fasteners off of a winglet. that's that curved part at the end of the wing. And my boss walks away and stuff, and he doesn't tell me how to do it. And I slipped and poked a hole right through that thing, man. It was a $250,000 part.
Oh, you poked a hole in the plane.
Oh. Yep. We had to send it out for outside labor because there wasn't repairs for it yet from Boeing.
Hold on.
Once again, men's room colors, here are the seven words you can't say on the radio. Sucker, mother, and please keep those words in mind when calling. Now back to the program.
My guess would be that. Well, that's okay. My guess would be
boo this. On me, man.
Yeah, but every
is that what you're saying around your 4-year-old Transformer loving kid?
But I would guess this. Okay, look. No matter if you're just getting trained on it or not, and I don't know if you have this mentality or not, but I think I would. Every single thing that you do to that plane is probably under your name if you're the person putting it together.
I would think
you're the
right?
person. I'm sure that all that stuff.
Yeah, there's multiple people signing it off.
Correct. Oh, now, if you were to make one critical error. The difference between you making one critical error, like cussing on the air here, or making one critical error, like messing up a wing on a plane somehow.
Yeah, cuss here, man.
Yeah, the difference is significant. So, I mean, I would have to think that you feel a certain amount of pressure being in those positions. It's one thing if you're installing seats on an airplane.
Right.
And there's nothing, I'm not saying there's anything wrong. I'm saying when you are dealing with the structure of an aircraft.
Yes.
And it's your mistake. Then we know what could possibly happen. And to mm-hmm. me, I would just think that would be somewhat. Yeah. You would just be precise on every single thing that you do.
I've done some crazy repairs on airplanes. I did 10 years, and then I just swapped careers. I'm doing HVAC now.
Why did you want to stop? Why did you stop working on planes?
Well, this is a little political within the company.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
I was manager, supervisor, and then I just got burned out a little bit. Had to move on so I can go make some more money.
So what are you doing now? You said working on eight what?
HVAC.
Gotcha.
Just say what it is, man. Yep, you can smoke that sweet weed now.
So I was in Tumwater before. Now I'm flying in the Bremerton area. It's pretty cool.
Okay, very cool.
Yeah.
Just who, said you know them. Right. Smoke that Chima.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. And maybe pee in a cup.
Time for me to leave, brother.
I don't know why. That was my first reaction. Why did he get out of that? I looked at Rob. I was like, we know why.
Yeah. I mean, it's one thing. And nothing different about being a car mechanic, obviously. But the difference is that the car's on the ground.
Right. You don't feel like you're going to. Look, and people always say, hey, well, there's far more car accidents than airplane crashes. That is understood.
Yeah.
The difference is everyone I know has been in a car accident. I've been in a car that flipped because Ted tried to kill me. What, 7.5 times?
Yes.
Yeah. It sucked, but I'm all right. I've been on a plane that hits turbulence. I'm like, I feel different about this. I feel a lot different about my prospects.
Oh, I will say this. Last plane I was on, they had turbulence and they kept on serving.
Did they?
Yes, they did. Mm-hmm. They did. Who really screwed up at work? 844-999-OLA. They didn't care.
Because of turbulence, we have to stop the drink cart. Sorry.
There were, what, two rows in front of us?
They were.
I wanted to beat someone's ass.
Oh, man.
It's turbulence. We're not dying.
I about jumped out of my seat.
Want a beer. Hello, Paul. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
Okay, so this was back when I just graduated from college back in 2012.
Oh, hang on.
We're going to take a little quick ID here real quick.
We will hear your story on the other side. But again, it all back to that same age. Just got out of college.
Yeah, 19. Something around there.
Mm-hmm. 19 is a magical number today, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm an adult, but I'm dumb.
Who really did screw up at work? 844-999-OLA. We'll continue that call in seconds here.
Hola! The shenanigans continue on the Men's Room Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.